I wanted to mention before we turn to our text tonight, last Sunday evening, there were 49 devices that were tuned in to the streaming service. So we're thankful for the good number who watched the broadcast and who heard the gospel. I know this is something that Ellie had desired, and many of her co-workers even tuned in from South Carolina. So the gospel goes out, and we're thankful for that. Now, if you will, let's turn tonight to Psalm 23. We looked at Psalm 22 last Wednesday, and as I said, I do not plan to bring a message from every psalm, but just several of the psalms in this book, and I couldn't skip over this psalm. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This, I believe, is the best known of all of the 150 Psalms. Very seldom attend a funeral service when this psalm is not either read or printed on the brochure. When Pat and I attended Spanish language school years ago, we were required to learn this psalm. It was practicing Spanish, and also it helped to learn the psalm. Jehová es mi pastor. In Spanish, as you hear, it is Jehová. But we recognize as we look in our Bible, as we read in our Bibles, our translation, English translation, that the word Lord or the name Lord, each letter is in uppercase, which tells us that this is the name Jehovah. Jehovah. God's name Jehovah is his name, which is written simply in these capital letters, YHVH, which is pronounced Yahweh. Yahweh. God's name, Jehovah, is his covenant name, especially used in reference to the covenants that he has made with his chosen people. And it especially tells us of God's self-existence, that God is self-existent. He depends on no one or anything outside of himself. This is the name that God gave to Moses when he asked at that burning bush. Moses, you remember, told the Lord there that they would surely ask him. When he went down into Egypt and told the Israelites that the Lord had sent him there to lead them out, they would surely ask his name. And God gave him this name, I am that I am. It's not I was or not I shall be, but I am eternally self-existent, the Lord God. There are other compound names of the Lord in the Old Testament. But there are seven compound names of Jehovah. Seven compound names of Jehovah. And a compound name is a name Jehovah and a descriptive name added to that. And the descriptive name reveals God's work in the lives of his people. And I want us tonight to look at this psalm again, and let's look at all seven of these names, Jehovah, compounded with a descriptive word. The psalm begins with one of these names, Jehovah Raha. Jehovah R-A-A-H. Jehovah Raha, the Lord my shepherd. Or as we have it translated here, the Lord is my shepherd. Now this begs a question. How does a person come to have the Lord as his shepherd? That's wonderful, isn't it? To think that the Lord is your shepherd. But how does a person come to have the Lord as his shepherd? He's not everyone's shepherd. We know that. Well, here are three ways that men may own sheep or may have sheep. And in these same three ways, we see how a person becomes one of his sheep, that is, have the Lord as their shepherd. A man might be given a sheep. Someone might give a person a sheep, and so he would then have a sheep. It would be his sheep. A man might buy a sheep, and it would be his sheep. He bought it. A man might find a sheep, and it would be his sheep. Now, every one of these three ways that I've just mentioned are true of all of those who have the Lord as their shepherd. They're true of you. If he is your shepherd, these three things are true of you. First of all of the sheep of Christ were given to him by his Father in the everlasting covenant. The Lord Jesus Christ said this in John chapter 6. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Every sheep, every person who has the Lord as their shepherd, they were given to him in an everlasting covenant of grace from before the foundation of the world. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 13, we read, the Lord one day will appear before the Father with these words, behold, I and the children which thou hast given me, which God has given me. So everyone who has the Lord as their shepherd is a sheep who was given unto him. And then secondly, all of the sheep of Christ were bought by him. Bought by him. He said, I am the good shepherd. You know, there are many hirelings. There are many false shepherds. You read about that especially in the book of Ezekiel, Zechariah. Lazy, slothful shepherds that serve themselves of the sheep. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He bought his sheep. Paul, writing to the church, the believers at Corinth, he said, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You're bought with a price. And we know the word redeemed is many times used in the scripture, speaking of how the Lord bought his people, redeemed them. You know, that word redeem, we were already his. We've been given unto him. We were his, but we had sold ourselves into slavery, into bondage. And he redeemed us. He bought us and he redeemed us. The scripture emphasizes the fact, not with silver or with gold, but with his precious blood. And then third, all of the sheep of Christ are his by him finding them. In Psalm 119, let me turn over here to Psalm 119. And the psalmist David, he said, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Psalm 119. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. All of Christ's sheep have gone astray. And if he, the shepherd, the good shepherd, if he did not seek his sheep, none of his sheep would ever seek him. We love him because he first loved us. All of his sheep, we had all gone astray. We'd everyone turned to our own way. And if he did not seek us out, we would never be found. Our Lord in the New Testament gives two parables speaking of the good shepherd, or the shepherd who had 100 sheep, and there was one missing, and he seeks until he finds that one lost sheep. We were all lost sheep, those who have the Lord as their shepherd. We were all lost sheep, and he finds them. And how does he find his sheep? God the Holy Spirit uses the gospel. I like that saying I've mentioned to you before. I think it was Thomas Goodwin, who said this. But he said, the Holy Spirit comes riding in the gospel chariot. The Holy Spirit comes riding in the gospel chariot. And yes, God has chosen the preaching of the gospel. And God the Holy Spirit uses the word in finding his sheep. He said, my sheep know my voice, and they follow me. So the Lord is my shepherd, Jehovah Raha. But then we see the meaning of another of these names, Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. And I see that when the psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want. Why? Because he is Jehovah Jireh. Now that name we know was given to Abraham. When Abraham held up the knife and was ready to sacrifice his son Isaac on the altar as the Lord had told him to do, and God stayed his hand, and he saw a ram that was there caught in the bushes, and he took that ram, and it was sacrificed in the stead of Isaac, and that name was revealed there, Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. He will provide everything for his children, every need that we have. He will not withhold one thing that is good for his children. He may withhold things from us that we want, that we desire, but he will never withhold one thing that is for our good. The Lord will provide. The very hairs of our head are numbered, showing his constant watch care and provision for all of his people, all of his sheep. Look back with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 33. In the Message Sunday morning, I use this as an example. I did not have this in my notes, and I thought later, there may have been some people here who did not quite understand or were not that familiar with this passage of Scripture here in Genesis chapter 33. So I thought we'd turn here and look at it tonight. But it is telling us what took place when Jacob returned from Mesopotamia, working for his father-in-law, Laban, for his two wives. And he's returning to Canaan. Now, the last thing that he heard about his brother Esau was, his mother told him, he's talking about killing you. He's talking about doing away with you. And so as Jacob is coming back, and God told him to come back, but he's got a large family. He's got four wives. He's got 12 children. He's got many animals, great herds. And he's coming back, and he's fearful of Esau, what Esau's going to do when he meets him. And so you know the story. He begins to send some some sheep, some goats, some camels, some asses, droves of them to Esau as gifts to his brother Esau, thinking that he had to somehow appease the wrath of his brother. But notice, if you will, here in chapter 33 and verse 8, when they meet, Esau says, "What meanest thou by all this drove which I met? All these presents that you've sent to me. What do you mean by this, Jacob?" And he said, "These are to find grace in the sight of my Lord." Now notice what Esau said. He said, "I have enough, my brother. I don't need this. I don't need these gifts. I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself." Now, if you look down in verse 11, when Jacob responds, he's trying to encourage Esau to take the gifts, to receive the gifts. He says, "Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough." But you notice there's a little number before that word enough. And when you look in the Hebrew, if you have a concordance, you look this up and you see there are two different words which are translated by the English word enough. Esau said, "I've got enough." What did Jacob say? What does it say in the margin? "I have all things. I have all things." And that's true of everyone who has the Lord as their shepherd, Jehovah Jireh. He will provide. Now, we think about this, especially maybe with physical things. We have needs of food and clothes and shelter and things like that. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. But more especially, more so than physical things, material things, the Lord has provided for us all that we need as His sheep. What do we need? We need a fountain. We need a cleansing agent to cleanse us from all our sins. And we need a righteousness that will allow us, as sinful as we are by nature, one day to appear in the very presence of God, the thrice holy God, Jehovah Jireh. He provides. He provided the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." What I'm trying to point out is we see these compound names in this psalm. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." The green pastures, you say, what does that represent? Well, I'm convinced it represents the Word of God. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture, the Word of God. And when you see animals which chew the cud, and sheep do, and they're lying down, what does that tell you? That tells you that their needs have been met. They're not out grazing. They're lying down. Why? Because they have filled their stomach, and now they're going through that process of regurgitating and all of that. You know how that works. All right, here's the third way. We may see the meaning of another of the names. This is Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Shalom. Many people are familiar with that word Shalom, because we hear it used when leaders meet over there in the Middle East with the Israelites, and Shalom. And that's the way they greet one another, I've been told. Shalom. What does it mean? It means peace. Peace. "He leadeth me beside the still waters." Jehovah Shalom, the Lord, our peace. Did you know that sheep will not drink from running water that's making a lot of noise? They just won't do that. But sheep find peace. The Lord, He is our peace. The Lord Jesus Christ, our shepherd, He is our peace. And by that I mean He made peace for us with God. And that word peace, of course, means He reconciled us to God. There was enmity. Enmity on our part. And we never read that God was reconciled unto us. God doesn't change. He's the thrice holy God. It was us who needed to be reconciled unto God. Christ did that. How did He do that? The Apostle Paul tells us He did it by the blood of His cross, by His sacrifice. A fourth way we may see the meaning of this name is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. That name was given in Exodus chapter 15. And we see that here, He restoreth my soul. You know, the prophecy in Isaiah 53 says, by His stripes we are healed. When we are first brought to Christ, when we first trust in Him, we find that healing virtue in His blood, that blood is sufficient. And yes, I don't know about you, but I would imagine sometimes the flesh or Satan overwhelms you with reminding you of your sin, the greatness of your sin. Isn't it a blessing to not argue about it? Confess, yes, that's true. But my sins, no matter how great they are, the blood of Jesus Christ is greater still. Greater still. Well, that song they used to sing, greater than the stain is gone. The blood of Christ. He healeth all our diseases. But the psalmist here says He restoreth. That's continuous action. He restoreth my soul. As we continue our journey through this world, through this wilderness, how many times do we need our souls restored? How many times do we need that healing power? You might say, well, why do we need our soul restored? Well, one reason is because we grow cold. We do. We just grow cold. We read that passage in Revelation 2 Sunday morning at the beginning of the service, but the letter that Christ wrote to the church at Ephesus, He commends them on so many things, so many great things, but I have one thing against thee. Well, what is it? Thou hast left thy first love. It's easy to grow cold. Coming to all the services, reading the scripture, praying, and yet still it's easy. If we allow ourselves to grow cold, we need the Lord to restore our souls. Why do we need our soul restored? Because this old nature that we have, it is a constant enemy. And many times we listen to the old nature instead of looking unto Christ. And we get discouraged and we get downcast in our mind and in our spirit. And why do we need our soul restored? We sometimes just grow weary. The Apostle Paul told the churches at Galatia, let us not be weary in well-doing. You know, preachers never grow weary of the work, but we do grow weary in the work. And the same thing is true of all believers. We never grow weary of the work. We love the work of preaching. That's our desire, to serve Him, to honor Him, to glorify Him. But at the same time, sometimes we do grow weary in the work. He restoreth our soul. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. And then here's a fifth way we may see the meaning of another of the names, Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Nissi. You say, well, that's a strange name. Yes. Jehovah Nissi. What does that mean? The Lord my banner. When Israel came out of Egypt, the first time they had to engage in any kind of warfare with the Amalekites, you remember, he had to go down, Joshua did, had to go down and fight the Amalekites in the valley, and Moses was up on the mountain, and they had to hold his hands up, and when they held his hands up, the Israelites were defeating the Amalekites, and when his hands grew weary, the Amalekites began to get the better of the Israelites. So they put two stones there and held them up. But after that battle was over, the Israelites got the battle, they built an altar and sacrificed unto the Lord, and that's the name, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. Now they call their altar Jehovah Nissi. Who is our altar? Christ. He's our priest, he's our altar, he's our sacrifice. He's our everything, isn't he? Yes, Jehovah Nissi. Another word for banner is ensign. Look at this verse in Isaiah chapter 11. You know what a banner is, or an army's colors, or ensign? There's someone there that's in the fray, and he's got the banner. He's holding the banner up, the ensign up, the flag, the colors of the company up, so that the men can always see that banner and know where to engage, where to fight. Here in Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 10, we read, "And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious." The Lord Jesus Christ, Jehovah Nissi, he is our banner. And the spouse in the Song of Solomon said, "He brought me into his banqueting house, and his banner over me was love." Love. Christ is our banner. And then a sixth meaning of another name, righteousness here. Righteousness for his name's sake. In verse 3, "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Jehovah Tiskanu, the Lord our righteousness. His righteousness is charged or accounted or imputed unto everyone that believeth. Those are the words the Apostle Paul uses in Romans chapter 4, illustrating how a person is declared just before God. He cites the case of Abraham, then he cites the case of David, and both tell us that the righteousness that we need is accounted unto everyone who believes in Christ, the Lord our righteousness. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness unto everyone that believeth. And then lastly, the meaning of the last of the names, Jehovah Shammah. What does that mean? The Lord is there. Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." The Lord is there. And not only that, but at the end of the psalm, he said, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Jehovah Shammah. Well, I pray the Lord would bless these words and these thoughts to all of us here tonight. What a precious and beautiful psalm it is, and it never was intended just to be for funerals, that's for sure. But it is an encouragement to us as we go through this life. Let us sing another hymn, and we'll be dismissed in prayer.